But we work, we toil, we labor to survive, to eat, to build, to live, and to create, and to live in His created world that He created in 6 days. And then we are blessed and given an entire day of rest. It's just a little noisy. Moreover, in Jesus, we no longer need to work for our salvation. Ever. Seeking to obey the law as a covenant for life, we have no need to work for that in Jesus. Because of His great work, we can rest in the grace of Jesus. And this is what Sunday reminds us of. We should always be reminded of this, that our salvation is not based on any of our works, any of our faithfulness, any of our desires and good intentions, and the good things that we might do. It's all on Jesus. And we believe this to be true, and we are constantly needing to be reminded of this. This is one thing we do on the Sabbath. But not only are we free from the burden of work, physical labor, thanks to God's providence, but we are free in the promises of God to praise and worship Him specially. And we do this together. We spend this time together. And we get to do this as a church. We gather with the saints. When you think about the Sabbath, the word, when you hear that word, what do you think of? Do you think of freedom, or do you think of a burden? Do you think of a break from the world or a checklist of do's and don'ts? Some of us, because of how we might have been raised or what we were taught growing up or even some in our adult life, it's hard for us to see the Sabbath as a freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus. We see the freedoms that we have to love. We often want to see our failures to keep the Sabbath, failures to do what we think ought to be done on the Sabbath, or failures to avoid what should not be done. And we condemn ourselves. We live in a guilt. And it's all based on a man-made tradition that it might be. Well, what does the Bible teach about the Sabbath? We believe the fourth commandment is very applicable to us. We believe we must keep the Sabbath. Jesus did not abrogate it. He did not do away with it. What is the Sabbath? And what does the Bible teach about the Sabbath? What did Jesus teach about the Sabbath? What about that time that we are supposed to specially spend with God and with one another on His day, the Lord's day? Jesus said that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, I want us to consider Jesus and the Sabbath here in Matthew 12 and what Jesus taught concerning the Sabbath. So follow along as I read, starting in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, to Jesus, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Well, Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him but to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is good and true, and it is in your word that we see you that we can know you more. And as we know you, we know your law. As it is a reflection of who you are. And Father, we fail to keep this. We are sinners, and we see our sin. But Father, help us to see Jesus. Help us to see your promises of your faithfulness, even in the midst of our faithlessness. Help us to see Christ. Help us to see your truth that sets us free. Father, help us to see your good law and how we can keep it in Jesus, and how we can commune with you and love you all the more as we go and love others as well. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the previous passage, Matthew 11, we have one of the precious promises of Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Jesus promises us this, that we will find rest for our souls in him. And it's no accident that Matthew, who wrote this book, the tax collector, one of the disciples of Jesus, put them side by side. Jesus declaring and promising, "Those who come to me, they will find rest." And here we see about his day of rest. A day of rest that we learn of Jesus. And so looking at verses 1 and 2, it says, "At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the disciples saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" What law are they talking about? Where is this in the Old Testament? Well, we see it in Deuteronomy 23:25. There's a law about plucking grain in your neighbor's field. And it is lawful to pick grain. What they actually did was, in the Old Testament, and explicitly states that it was okay for what they did. But they don't have a problem with that. You would think that they would want to point a finger and say they're stealing. They're stealing from somebody. That's somebody else's property. But so what law did they break? Well, based on the language of the Pharisees, they believe the disciples broke the law of God. They're saying that they broke a moral sin, a moral commandment. Shame on them for what they did. But truly, they did not break the law of God. Nowhere in the Old Testament does it forbid them from plucking grain, from feeding themselves on the Sabbath. But the way they talked, the Pharisees talked about it, they profaned the Sabbath and deserve death, to be exiled. But there is no such law. And where there is no law, there is no sin. The Pharisees were not priests or prophets. They were self-appointed religious leaders. And they held tightly to their own interpretations of the Torah, of the Old Testament, rather than God's law itself. They began to create traditions and spoken laws that they would add to create fences around God's people to keep them from sinning. If we just tell them that they can't do this, they can't pluck grain, they can't eat anything, they can't walk so far, they can't do this, then they won't break the Sabbath. Then we won't be exiled again like we did before. They had a great fear of exile. And so they created law after law after law and communicated these laws as if they were the law of God. And that to break these, they deserve death. They're trying to maintain control, and they were afraid that people would sin. Matthew Henry says this, "It is common for men of corrupt minds, by their zeal in rituals and the external services of religion, to think to atone for the looseness of their morals. But they are cursed who add to, as well as they who take from, the words of this book." The Pharisees didn't trust in God or his promises. But they trusted in their own traditions. They didn't even trust in the Torah. They didn't trust that it was enough. The law of God is not enough to reveal to you your sin. We need more. We need more to protect us, to keep us from exile, from being judged like we had been before. Their hope of salvation was in their own legal obedience to their own man-made laws and traditions. In Mark 7, the disciples, before they ate some food, they did not wash their hands properly. And so they did not wash their hands according to the tradition of the elders, it says. Mark also wrote in that same passage that that there were many other traditions related to that one the Pharisees enforced. The Pharisees interrogated Jesus, asking why the disciples ate with defiled hands. Well, Jesus replies, quoting Isaiah 29:13, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Then Jesus says to them, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of man." You cannot hold on to both the traditions of man as God's law and God's law. But why did Jesus say that? The Pharisees were not offended by, as we said, the disciples plucking grain from somebody else's field, but by doing the act on the Sabbath was when they did it. The day that was supposed to be holy, set aside for God. They were not keeping the Sabbath, but profaning it, they thought, even though it was a measly cold snack to carry them over. It says they were hungry. The Pharisees could not help but criticize and despise them for it. Forget murder, adultery, and idolatry. Forget the other Ten Commandments. This was grain. They made a big deal about grain, eating food, which is something they needed. Has anyone ever held you in contempt for breaking the Sabbath according to a man-made law or tradition? Has somebody spoken to you that way? Or you feel it from them? Or have you done this? Do you have traditions that are not in God's Word, that are meant to give you a sense of security and favor with God? Rules and regulations meant to hold yourself accountable when we need to trust God. When we look to His good law and what it says, and we follow the teachings of Christ, and we obey. Well, Jesus replies back to them. Starting in verse 3, He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests?" David and this was in the tabernacle. The temple wasn't built yet, not until Solomon. But in the tabernacle, which is a place for the Pharisees, was this showbread, the bread of presence. And it was sacred. And God clearly states in the Old Testament, only the priests can eat this at the proper time. They would rotate out, they would have the bread out, it would be out for a time, and then they would replace it with fresh bread. Well, that bread that was going bad, the priests would eat it. And God specifically said, only the priests eat this. It was a ceremonial law. And in a legal sense, David and his men broke it. But Jesus says they did not sin. How can that be? They broke the law of God. God said, don't do that. And they did. But yet Jesus justifies it. Some people want to say, well, at the end of the passage, Jesus says he's Lord of the Sabbath, so he can do that. He can just excuse it. No, they did not sin. So how is it that they didn't sin? It was necessary for life that they eat that bread. And the priests were okay with it. If we go back and read in 1 Samuel 21, which is where we see it, The priest gladly gave it to him. They were hungry, and they needed it. This is what we call work of necessity. And it was merciful as well that God does not condemn them for this. This was for the preservation of life. This was actually keeping the sixth commandment, the preserving of their own life. We have to, as humans, God created us with cravings, with hunger. If we don't eat, we die. It's a simple survival fact. You must eat. This is in keeping with the sixth commandment. You take care of yourself. If you're a parent, you have children, you feed your children, you take care of them. It's for their life, for their good. That's what David and his men did. They needed to eat. It was of necessity. And therefore, God did not judge them for breaking that ceremonial law. Look with me at verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? We see in Numbers 28, there were a lot of things that the priests had to do on the Sabbath. Sacrifices. They had to take animals. They had to kill them, slaughter them a certain way. They had to do a lot. They worked hard on the Sabbath. And from a technical standpoint, it seemed like they profaned the Sabbath. But yet, what was their work? If they weren't truly profaning the Sabbath, but they were working on the Sabbath, and God says, don't work on the Sabbath, how is that an exception? How is that okay? Well, again, a lot of people point to, well, Jesus says, I'm Lord of the Sabbath, so I can just, you know, you're good. You're okay. You're off the hook this time. No. God is just. He does not let the guilty go unpunished. But yet what the priests are doing is what pastors and deacons do. They do what is good. They serve. They love people. They preach the word. This is where we see the means of grace. What is better than receiving the means of grace, of preaching God's word? They were serving God. They were worshiping. In their very act was a worship of God that was honoring to Him. And they were fulfilling what God commanded them to do. And it was good. It was, you could say it's a work of piety, of holiness. It was love. We even, there's many of us that do certain work on the Sabbath, like pastors and deacons, nursery workers. That's hard work. And do you want to say that nursery workers are profaning the Sabbath? What they're doing is good. It is a good and necessary and merciful thing. And God honors that. Jesus says in verse 6, I tell you something greater then the temple is here. Why would he say that? We just got through talking about the tabernacle, David, and the showbread and the tabernacle. That was a sacred place. And yet it seemed that David went into a sacred place and did something unsacred. He ate bread. But Jesus says it was necessary. You know, and the priests, they're working in the tabernacle, in the temple, offering sacrifices, worship to God. On the Sabbath, the temple was a sacred and holy place. But Jesus says something greater than the temple is here. And he's talking about himself. He is the better temple. He is God. And in him we rest. In him we know God. We rest in him. We're in the presence of God. And the disciples and the Pharisees were in the presence of God, a place better than the temple. It was better for the Pharisees to be there with Jesus than it was for them to be back at the temple. And it was, if it was proper for David, who was anointed by God, he was chosen by God, if it was proper for him to break a ceremonial law to continue God's work, God's business, then the appointed, the anointed Jesus and his followers can break a man-made law to strengthen themselves and to continue the work of God. priests worked on the Sabbath to offer sacrifices according to the ceremonial laws in the temple. But Jesus is the better temple, which we may enter freely by faith for true rest. He says, come to me. The temple was guarded. You couldn't go in the holiest of holies without being killed. There were only one man could go in the Holy of Holies one time a year. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. All are welcome to him. He is better. And he says in verse 7, and if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. The Pharisees misunderstood what God wants, what God craves, what he longs from us. He doesn't merely want obedience. He wants love. He wants us to worship and adore him, to love him. And in that, we obey. It is good and right to love God and to love others. Jesus tells us. But what did they think God only wanted? Sacrifice. He wants sheer willed obedience. Strict. He wants you to just do what you're told. Doesn't matter why. Just do it. This was how you found favor with God. Sacrifice. No. He wants love and mercy. Steadfast love, other translations will say, of Hosea 6. He's quoting Hosea 6:6 here. This is the Old Testament. This isn't Jesus, you know, writing something new. This was already in God's Word. He says, you would not have condemned the guiltless. This is what we do. We hold fast to the traditions of man over the law of God. We condemn those who are not in sin, who are not guilty of breaking God's law. And this is abusive and wrong. And Jesus points out that to them. You would not have condemned the guiltless. And Jesus says, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Many people want to use that verse, like I've kind of said, to say that Jesus, he exercises his authority, and authority in a sense where he basically says, I can just do what I want with this day. Some people use that to justify the Sabbath is done away with. Jesus had the authority to do that. He was God. So he could say, all right, fourth commandment on the stone tablets written with the finger of God, it's gone. Fourth commandment is gone. Because I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I can do what I want. That is not what Jesus is saying here. He alone is the lawgiver. And this is not the moral law of God. What the Ten Commandments are, they're a summary of who God is. God does not change. He doesn't change who he is. He is love and life. We keep the sixth commandment, do not murder, because God is life. And to steal life from others is wrong because of who God is. Not merely because thou shalt not. Not merely because he said so. It's founded in who he is, in his nature. And this is the fourth commandment as well. When we keep the Sabbath, this is not a positive law that God created for because he thought it was a good idea. But we must rest in him because he is God. He is creator. And he created us to follow this pattern. He is life itself, and we go to him for life and rest. And we specially set aside a whole day that we get to do this. And Jesus, as Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of all he created, Lord of everything, he regulates how we ought to worship him. And this is part of the Ten Commandments, the first four. Who we worship, why, and the manner we worship, how we worship, and when. We worship him specially one day out of the week. And Jesus' commands we see throughout the New Testament. In the New Covenant, Jesus gives us new commandments. We call these positive laws because he posited them to us. We see baptism and the Lord's Supper and how we worship him together as his church. How we exercise church discipline. How we commune together. But it's all founded in that we love one another and that we love God. He alone, Jesus, is our Sabbath. He is our rest spiritually, that we rest in him. He is the author and finisher of our salvation. And we go to him for the rest, for rest for our souls. And even in the next passage, we see Jesus is not done with the Sabbath. He goes to a synagogue and he finds a man with a withered hand. He's injured. His hand is not functioning. And Jesus says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They look at him, no, because it's work. You're not supposed to work. You know, wait till tomorrow to do it. Then you can heal. But he says, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? This man is in need, Jesus is saying. He needs help, and I can help him. So Jesus says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored and healthy like the other. But then the Pharisees went out and conspired against him to destroy him. It was their interpretation of the Sabbath, of what they can or can't do on the Sabbath. And when Jesus broke their man-made tradition, that's when it snapped in them. We got to kill this guy. He is destroying what we have created. And they're probably thinking, he is going to cause the people of God to sin and we're going to go in exile again. They had no faith in God. Only their traditions and what they believed to be true. It is good. It is lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath. And something we need to realize with this passage is that the Pharisees, in their very effort to try to keep the Sabbath, they're breaking it. They're profaning the Sabbath in their trying to keep it. They do not believe God. And not merely not believing in Jesus. That is definitely profaning of the Sabbath. But they don't believe God, his word, his promises that he has already given them, and his law. They don't trust that his law is enough for life, for well-being, for keeping them from sin. So they profane the Sabbath. They seek to bind the conscience of someone else. That's what we do when we create laws that are not found in God's word. Whether good intentions or not, we bind the conscience of somebody. That is not our place to bind it. God, Jesus says, he is the Lord of our conscience. He is to guide and direct what we do and not do. His law tells us what is good and right. This is what the Pharisees were doing. They're stripping these men of their liberty. This is what we do in the Christian world. When we bind people's conscience, we strip them of their liberty. The liberty that they have in the law. Paul calls it the law of liberty. It's not liberty in the sense we can do whatever we want. We don't have to keep it. It's a liberty that we are not slaves to sin anymore. We're not slaves to the law as a covenant. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. And so we can keep the law in Christ, in faith. We can love God and love others. And there's freedom in that. How we love, how we desire to love people. There's personality, introverts, extroverts. How we love other people looks different than other people. But it's love. And it comes from Jesus. You are imposing a false moral law on someone. And that's what it really has come down to. You've created something moral, a law that God has not created, and you portray it as God's law. And you impose your own personal conviction on someone else. You're essentially saying, my standard of living is better than yours. You are less of a Christian than I am, because you don't keep to the traditions that I see as morally good. And it is a lack of grace and love. It's a lack of understanding the gospel. It's a lack of understanding what the strength that we have in Christ to obey God's law. That's not enough. You just need to obey it to obey it. And you need to obey what I say you should obey. You might use words like, I think it's wise for you to do this. In some instances, it may be a good idea, but we cannot treat personal convictions like God's moral law. Are you and I keeping the Sabbath perfectly? The reality of us, we still have remaining sin. The reality of that is we profane the Sabbath always. You can never truly keep the Sabbath perfectly. You can never rest in God perfectly. But yet, we can rest in God truly, in Jesus. Even though we are sinners, we violate the fourth commandment so often in ways that we may not even know. We are guilty sinners. But God is faithful and just. In the midst of us profaning the Sabbath, whether we were before Christians or while we still have remaining sin in Christ, Jesus kept the Sabbath for us. We see in his life, and an example in this passage and other examples, that he was always doing the work of the Father, especially on the Sabbath. He was working on the Sabbath for God about his Father's business. He was always doing what is good and right for his neighbor. The Pharisees pointed fingers at him that he was eating and drinking with sinners, even on the Sabbath, probably. And that was good. It was a good and loving, gracious thing that he always did, because he was kind and loving. He was proclaiming salvation in himself to everyone. And even in his work on the cross, which was the most good work he could have ever done, he rested in the grave. We know that it was, you know, the Jewish Sabbath is Saturday. It was Friday that he was on the cross. He suffered, bore the wrath of all sinners, of the church. He bore our wrath in himself on the cross for hours, the day before the Sabbath. And he gave up his life, his soul. And he said it was finished. And they buried him just before the Sabbath. And he rested in the grave, still working his Father's business, doing what is good for us. In the midst of our refusing to come to Jesus and rest in him, he performed the greatest work of mercy and good on the cross. Won't you look to him? Won't you see this love that he had for you? Won't you rest in his perfect work of redemption for you and cease? Stop working for your own justification. Rest in him. By grace through faith, we can keep the Sabbath in hope of the eternal Sabbath rest with Jesus. In this new covenantal relationship with God by grace, we can do what is good and right on the Sabbath without feeling guilt, shame, or fear that we may be breaking a man-made law. And I want to remind us of Hosea 6:6, that God desires mercy. not sacrifice. We must obey the law of God. It is expected of us, but not at the cost of us not trusting in Jesus. We must trust and look to the cross and believe and love God and love others. We must keep His good law. And we desire to do this because He is good and just, because He saved us. He knows your thoughts, and He commands and desires that we trust and rest in Him, that you love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And in regards to worship on the Sabbath, we come together and we worship Him in public worship together. God has clearly given us instruction and principles to follow for how and when He is to be worshiped on this Lord's Day. We believe in the ordinary means of grace, the preaching of the Word, praying the Word, singing of the Word together, offering and the ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper done together. And in the way that He has commanded and provided examples for us to follow, it is unwise and wrong to go beyond what God has prescribed in His Word. If you are worried about the things you do on Sunday or don't do, possibly being sinful, remember this. God's word is clear about what is forbidden in the fourth commandment. Outside of what the Bible teaches, we must not forget that where there is no law, there is no sin. We must love God and love others. That means that where the Bible has not given command or clear example to follow in the law of God, there's no violation of God's law. God's law is a law of liberty. But He has given us clear examples. This can be kind of confusing. But we love and we do what is good and merciful and necessary. We follow His good teachings. We follow the examples of Christ here in this passage. If we are hungry, it's okay. It's okay to eat. It is okay to do what is good and right. Pastors serving God's people, that is a good work. But when we need to rest, we need to rest. And this is good. We are free from the law's condemnation and free to love as Christ has loved us. The primary purpose of the Sabbath is not to get you to stop doing stuff. It is there for you and your good. It is there so that you can rest in the giver of life. And you don't have to work for your own life. You can rest in Him. There's freedom and liberty in that. You can rest in God who provides for every need, the giver of life, and we can do this in a special way that you cannot do the rest of the week. We come to God privately in His Word and in His prayer, but there's something special about coming to God with God's people and see the means of grace in this way. And there's a reason why the new church did this. There's a reason why Christ commanded it. It is special and gracious and wonderful. And it is for our good, and it is so good to do. Yes, we rest in Jesus every day by faith, but there is something special about Sunday. It is holy and blessed by God because it is good and it is a precious gift. A day that we can gather with the saints, a day that we can see and hear of the precious grace of Jesus. A day that we can worship the Creator in gratitude for what He has done for us, and a day that we can be reminded of the precious rest that we will have in Jesus in eternity. And this is what we get a taste of when we come together in this way, when we sing, the congregation, the people together, we get to see and hear of God and His goodness. And it's a taste of what will to come in glory, where we will be in perfect rest in Jesus always. But for the time being, we work, and we rest. And we work and we rest. And we do what is good and loving always. And according to God's good law and what He has done for us, that we can live not merely in obedience to Him, but live a good life in faith, in Jesus, doing, encouraging one another, comforting one another when we need it. And oftentimes we need it, all of us. We must seek to do what is good and right. And we thank God for the rest that we have in Him in this life. We have an eager anticipation of the wonderful rest and peace that we will have eternally, like we said. And this is what we've acknowledged about Brother Andrew's dad, that he is in this Sabbath rest now for eternity with Jesus. What a perfect relationship that will be. And so I hope that in this we are encouraged by the Sabbath. We do not feel a guilt and a shame that is done by man-made traditions. But we see the freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus, that we can obey and keep the Sabbath as He intended. That we come together as God's people, that we worship Him as He has prescribed to be worshipped. And it is good. And we seek what is good and right for others, what is merciful, and what we need for life. That is the root of what I believe is the Sabbath. It is a day of rest in Jesus. As we rest the rest of our lives, we seek Him in faith and in love, and we anticipate the perfect eternal rest we will have in Him to come. And so, let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, we are broken. We are sinners. And we do not love as we ought to love. Father, this can be confusing because we realize we are sinners. We cannot keep Your law perfectly. And yet we are told, You must keep My law perfectly. But God, help us to see Jesus. Father, we cannot keep this law perfectly. It condemns us always and brings us guilt and shame. But You sent Your one and only Son. He kept this law perfectly for us. And we are justified in Him. You do not see us as lawbreakers anymore. But You see us as righteous sons and daughters with an inheritance, an eternal inheritance that Jesus earned for us. Father, help us to believe and see that Jesus and all that He did in His life and death and resurrection is good. It is enough for us. Father, we do not need to work for our salvation. We do not need to go to Your law to obey so that You will love us, so that You will forgive us. But God, You have already forgiven us. Jesus says, those who come to Me, I will never cast out. And all those who come to Him will find true rest for their souls. Father, we have this rest. We already have it. We do not need to earn it. Help us to believe and trust in You as we learn of Christ. We learn to keep the Sabbath as He kept the Sabbath. We learn to love others as He loved us. Help us to speak truth and love to others and to ourselves. Help us to go about our life looking to Christ always, and not our own. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn. It's number 8. O safe to the rock that is higher than I. Please bow your heads with me for this benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.